Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell them you listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com, the home for suspension. All right. On to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Yeah, welcome everybody to another edition of the Fly Racing RacerX podcast / YouTube video. This is the Unadilla recap, man. Thanks for watching and listening. Appreciate it. Whether it's a podcast or whether it's on YouTube. Good to have you guys here. Lots to talk about when it comes to Unadilla. Not so much the racing, but the track and a guy winning a championship and a guy emerging as a real threat. And yeah, lots more to get into when it comes to this this show. Fly Racing, flyracing.com, Cooper Webb, RJ Hampshire, leading laps in his Fly Racing gear, Chance Hymus, some guy named Justin Brayton. Where is it? I've been told. Dean Wilson, Pulp MX code saves you. The 2026 stuff is out now. Absolutely love a couple of the Evo lines that they have. They have two or three lines that come with the BOA closure system as well on it, which is a game changer whenever you've used it. And then the Formula helmet's amazing, man. It's super safe, super comfy. Got a DM from a guy that said, I don't even like Fly, but you talk about this Formula helmet so much. I saw it on the dealership. It was so comfy. It didn't even match my gear, but I bought it anyways. The dude was from Australia. So thanks for that sweet DM, that guy from Australia. The code PULPMX will save you on a Formula helmet or anything from the folks at Fly Racing down the road. Motorsport.com, Renthal, Maxxis, Brunt Boots, all on board with us as well. We'll tell you more about them later on in the show. But again, thank you for watching and listening. Appreciate it. I'm Steve Mathis. With me over there, man that was in the booth with James Stewart calling the action. And if you're paying, he's saying the Jason Wygan. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, the legend of Unadilla. It's a can't-miss race. I can't imagine anyone not going, especially, you know, if you're a true hardcore enthusiast or journalist of the sport. So that's why I was there this weekend.
Yeah, nothing to do with the paycheck, right?
Hey, I was going to Unadilla long before I was getting paid. You know this.
Good point. Also here from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, the pit reporter as well. The Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
It's an on-track analyst, but either way, it's fine.
Okay.
Steve, would you say that this is like the kind of the beginning of the end for you going to the races? Because this is how it starts, right? Like you miss a couple races, then you're on this slippery slope. And then 5 years from now, you're like, man, remember when Steve used to go to the races? Like, he still does this, you know, Monday show. It's great. You know, people love all the stuff he does. But, man, it was great when he went to the races.
Okay, so this is a touchy subject because there's a couple other idiots in the media that were kind of getting on me a few days ago about this, about not going to the races. And, yeah, so I'll just simply repeat those arguments right here. One weekend, I was out supporting MX Sports Amateur Racing, which I'm a big fan of. And so I was out there grinding it away, Hangtown weekend, supporting MX Sports, paying $60 a class for nothing. going to race Loretta's. And they didn't work out, but I was there at that weekend of Hangtown. Another weekend, gentlemen, I was up supporting the International Series up in Canada. There's a Racer X employee that we all know named Phil Nicoletti. He won the championship. I went up to support him and covered that inside and out. That was Red Bud weekend. Maybe you guys have heard the hashtag. Skip Red Bud.
I thought it was about fireworks.
Nope. But that is a good one. That is a good one. I think one of the other two idiots said the same thing, but that's fair. So that was two weekends right there. And I always go to Hangtown and I always go to Red Bud. I think that Red Bud, me not going, ended like a 20-year stretch of going to Red Bud. Hashtag second best track on the circuit. And the other ones, you know, just...
Speaking of the best track.
If you give me... That one was my wife's birthday. Family.
Millville?
Hashtag family.
How many races are you going to miss is really what we're getting to.
Okay, so if you give me the regional back and the supporting Phil Nicoletti in Canada, I'm at 8 out of 11.
No, that's not how this works.
Okay, well then I'm going to be at 6 out of the 11.
That's...
And I didn't see...
You're barely over 50%. That's where we've gotten to. Barely
I didn't over see either one of you assholes at Reno... Friday night before Phoenix. Went to Reno. I covered that series, flew to Phoenix, covered that series, covered Canada racing. Like, bro, I'm grinding.
AMA's listening. I hope they're listening. This is like when the longtime comedic actor does the serious role to try to win that Oscar.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I went to Reno and I did that. So, yeah. You know, I didn't go to Unadilla. I haven't been for a couple of years. It is, as you guys know, it is a pain in the ass to get to. And so, but you know what? I'm back at Bud's Creek.
How's it feel to want, Steve?
Listen, I know the powers that be. I know they know about the Reno thing. And I know they know about Gopher Dunes. So.
They're like really excited you went to Reno?
I didn't sense, honestly, any excitement, but they know. There's no journalist in the sport that has done the double like I did that night, that weekend. And that should clinch it for me for 2025. Okay. Lots to get into when it comes to this race for sure. And then I got a couple of ideas for Jet Lawrence to talk about him because he dominated again. But first... we had Greg Robertson on the Pulp Show, the son of the founder, Ward Robinson of Unadilla. This track's been going on forever for USGPs, of course, back in the day, and then Nationals since 1993, I think they started first one. Greg was a great interview. Loved talking to him about the history of the sport and everything else. But I got to say, man, not a great track. And this goes to last year, too. I thought the same thing last year. Now, they had a big rainstorm. Maybe it washed some things away. They look like they didn't stay on top of the water. Now, at times, Unadilla has gotten a ton of water and ended up being rut cross and slot cross and not fun either. So I feel like I'm maybe being a bit unfair for saying, you know, what's going on now? But, dude, it was dry. It was dusty. No one wanted that split lane there. Was there anyone leaving Unadilla in 30 years going, you know what would be great? That split lane before the finish. That'd be fantastic. I don't know what was going on with that. What?
I'm with you on the track prep. We needed more water in a bad way.
Right. What happened? They had a race that was flooded out. They had a lot of water.
I know. The track got away from them. I'm 100% in agreement with you on that. But like, I saw your tweet about the split lane. Like, it didn't change anything. It didn't hurt anything. I kind of thought the split lane was just complaining to complain.
No. Just we don't need a split lane out there at Unadilla. It's Unadilla. It's DeCoster. It's Hannah. It's Marty Smith.
But I'm with you on everything. I think the split lane it's fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't tweet worthy and then bringing it up and again here about how bad it was. It wasn't.
Okay. Track prep / dust / rocks, all of it.
I don't get it, man. I don't know. Something clearly didn't go to plan. They thought they were going to have rain. I heard so many theories from everyone after the race. I sent a text to Jim Perry from MX Sports. He might know, and this is more track than MX Sports, but he would know. But I haven't gotten an answer yet.
Right. It just didn't look a lot of fun. It didn't look like a lot of fun. But I don't want to be too critical because sometimes they've gotten so much rain that track hasn't been fun that way either. Like, think about those years that, you know, not that long ago.
Yeah, but the non-fun rut years, we did see awesome battles.
Yes, because you go literally back to that
Kennard year. What was the year Kennard got the magical KYB?
18? No.
14? No.
14.
14, but I think.
There was some great racing on the super slot car
track.
But
because you have the lap times change, right?
And it wasn't good racing.
No, it wasn't good racing. Like, I wasn't sitting on my couch being like, oh, I wish I was there. But I do like Unadilla generally. Like, I've said this before, like, when I went there in 96, it was horrific. I was so excited to go because it's Unadilla, and it was horrific. And around, 2002, 3, 4, place got a lot better. It improved a ton.
No, it didn't. In my opinion, it really didn't get any better until like 2012.
Really? Was it that long? I mean, dude, you could be right. My time frame could be off here. I did have two DNFs at Unadilla as a mechanic, so I'm pained as well. What?
Shocking.
I think Weege on your show, Justin Cooper kind of said it best. You know, the best versions of Unadilla are the wetter ones. When they get a lot of moisture into it, that's the only way we have a really good Unadilla. And I kind of am coming around to this theory now where if the track is really great in qualifying, it's going to be pretty bad in the afternoon. Like, you almost have to be on the side of it's way too wet in qualifying for it to be a solid afternoon of racing on these hot afternoons. Like, we've been getting really hot weather, really dry weather, lots of sunshine. I just don't think there's a way to keep moisture in it if it's really nice and tacky or even somewhat dusty in qualifying practice. Like, it's just not possible.
Well, yeah, but we did see that went too far with that. Remember that one year accidentally they didn't do it. They didn't rip it deep enough and water it enough at Colorado, and then it led to awesome racing. And then since then it's been back down, and I think they've nailed it a lot. So in general... Maybe it depends on the track. Maybe Unadilla is the kind of track where you do have to do that, and other ones found out they're better if they don't.
I think it's partially it's, you know, like we rarely get the 85 and sunny at Colorado. You know, it's like June 1st. It's really mild. Yeah. Like, we get great weather. So I think that's playing a role. Because I would say the same thing about about Ironman. The heat played a big role in why the track went away late in the day.
Did we have anybody off of paddle? Off paddles?
Yeah, there were... a few guys went away. The second motos, a bunch of guys went away from it.
Yeah, I would think so. It just didn't look fun. It didn't look like a great track. I don't know what the guys were saying afterwards, but hey, they can't all be, you know, they can't all be Millville. They can't all be perfect.
Hey, though, Prado hole shot with the normal tire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to Prado.
We will get to Prado.
Even Eli said, you know, he is normally the advocate for, because I believe his 2024 tweet of the year, he's only does one a year. He had one about you can leave some dust on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? That was one of his three tweets in his lifetime.
What was his 2025
press conference? He's like, I normally lean toward keep it drier, a little bit dust. Okay. But even he said this was probably too much in that direction.
What was his 2025 tweet? It's only halfway through the year.
That was you.
I feel like he just had one.
Okay. All right. Just checking. Okay. What was sweeter, Weege? Jets pass on RJ up the hill, or Jet going from fourth to first in four corners in the second moto? You can only pick one. I'm going to go with the pass on RJ.
Oh, you're going pass on RJ.
I'm going pass on RJ, dude. That was sick. He was so light on the bike. He doubled up the hill. Unbelievable. So I'll go pass on RJ.
The only reason I picked the other one is because you at least – you saw him trying to set something up on RJ, and you're like, maybe he will, maybe he won't get it, but let's see. The other one, I was like, I blinked, and he was in the lead. And I'm like, when did that happen?
Yeah. JT, what's your pick?
I mean, I was so exasperated trying to talk about both of them. I was wandering through UFOs and alien shows on TV. Like, I was completely lost in what I was seeing. I think the RJ one for me was more impressive because he was really far behind him on the entrance to that uphill, like way back. And for me, there's just no way you're even thinking about a pass when you're that far behind him. Like, I think it even surprised Jet that he was able to get by there. The first lap one in the second moto, he swung wide going into that left. Like, you go right, right, then left.
Mm-hmm.
He swung wide, and I think he saw the door open. I don't think he thought he was going to pull it off, but he went for it when he saw that door open on the outside. So if I was forced to choose, I would say the RJ1 as well.
I started this term a couple years ago. I call it microdosing with him, and I don't mean steroids. I mean, we always joke about he gets the 2 second lead, and you're like, he's not dominating. He's not pulling away that much. To see his real speed, you only see it like in a turn here or there. Like, remember when Eli got next to him in the rollers at Pala? And you're like, oh, he's passing him for sure.
Yep.
Eli's got him.
Or Thunder
and then
Valley.
Just one turn. He greased the outside of that so unbelievably fast. Sexton had him in the whoops after Washougal. And you're like, oh, Sexton's going to pass him. Same thing. Like, there's four turns this year, the two at Unadilla and the two I just said, where you're like, oh, that's how fast he could go.
Yeah.
That's, if he wanted to really push it.
I think that's our always will be our pushback when some people, you know, there's this controversy about, is he going as fast as he can go? Could he win by more if he needed to? Like, that question has been asked 10 million times by all of us. It still gets asked, and it should be asked. But I think that fury, those seconds of fury he's able to throw in, that's all you really need to push back. That's all you need, because I'm not saying he could do that for 35 minutes. I'm actually guaranteeing you he can't do that for 35 minutes. But if he could do that for 20 seconds out of every lap, he would be gone. He would be gone.
I heard he wasn't the fittest in the class, so I was just checking, but that's what I heard. Both moments were amazing. And then, of course, he goes off the track in the split lane. RJ gets the lead back, and he's like, no. Sorry, RJ. RJ rode great. We'll get to that. But
the next corner.
Yeah, he's just like, no.
Next corner, man.
No, it's amazing. So two titles in 3 years for him. Of course, the first season he went perfect. Last year he missed it with a thumb. Last year was a thumb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's thumbs and there's feet and there's ACLs and stuff. This year, I mean, this was tougher to win this title. He didn't sweep every moto, but it's 2 and 3 years. For the kid.
Yeah, but you know what? I realized I had forgotten. I had to remind myself during the motos, as you're seeing the championship unfold, I'm like, oh, yeah. He started the season 3 months out of ACL surgery. He's so damn good that have we even thought about this in the last month? Been mentioned?
Do you guys remember I've been, and I'll pat myself on the back so you guys don't have to. I was on it from day one. I'm like, he's going to be at Paula and he's going to be ready. Like, I just believed it in my heart. I didn't know if he was going to win Paula or not, but I believed he would show up and be on the line and be ready to go. And there were a lot of people just like, it's too quick. It's too early. It's too fast. I'm just like, I don't think so. Not with him and not with modern medicine, the way this is all going. I do not think so. So to your point, yeah, man, like, should he go undefeated? Whatever. But this was way ahead of schedule. Like, I even asked Lars on the post show, like, what were you guys' thoughts going into the opener? And he's like, yeah, we were nervous. Like, it's a big risk when you have this type of investment, which we're still waiting on kind of the final details on his contract. But we know that Honda has a huge investment in him for the long term. And the last thing you want to do is force him back early or even let him come back early, which then starts this spiraling of injuries and the degradation of his performance over the long term. So yeah, I do think Lars and Brandon Wilson and a lot of people are like, please don't let this be another setback when we really have to think about like long-term projections here.
And I met Brandon's boss last weekend, Ironman.
Thunder Valley, Dave? Right?
What?
Thunder Valley?
Weekend he was there.
Thunder
Valley, I met another guy, another boss, another Lars' boss. Yeah, there's been two of them. So,
the HRC guy was at Redbud, but you,
yeah,
were not there.
You will get to Honda and the success that they had at Unadilla.
It's wild that Mr. Ichikawa wasn't at in Canada. That's pretty surprising.
That was maybe not a great day for them to go. They ran out of gas again, but a great day for Honda, which we'll get into, of course, when we talk more about 250s. But amazing, great job, Jet and the team and everything else. Really, like, that week off before High Point, I feel like he came out at High Point and was like, "Yep, I am fully 100% like Iron Man at 100% capacity." He maybe wasn't at the first three, and then, dude, since then, right? I mean, obviously,
no, that was
Southwick
weekend was after High Point, Southwick. And then it was Southwick.
Sorry, I do feel Southwick. Like. Yeah,
So I asked,
at that point, Tomac had two moto wins.
Yeah. High Point, four in a row.
Like it was maybe on, like it was going to be a battle.
Yep.
So I asked Johnny O in the mechanics tower, this was off camera, off the record, whatever. Not really off record. I just asked him, hey man, he looks like he's taken a step in the off week. Like he just looks different to me. He looks more aggressive. He looks more assertive. And we were kind of talking about it then. And I think it's much more clear now that he got better on that break. Looking back on it, like it was clear, right? Like he kind of looked at me like, I don't know. I don't really think so. Like he didn't see any data to support that. But I think us, we don't watch him every day. So I think he goes away and then he comes back and you're like, whoa, that looks a little bit different. So it's just interesting to kind of watch his progression because he just looked like the old Jet again, which is when you're winning and leading the points, it's hard to say like, whoa, he looks like the old Jet again. But I do think there is some nuance to him getting back to the guy that can win every time when he got that little bit of time off.
Great job getting Lars on the post-race show too, guys. Great work on that. Thank you. Yep. Weege, by the way, you probably this is more question for you, but maybe JT, but any sort of, talk about gate at Unadilla, like the penalty and getting changed. And I think we all agreed last week on the show, like just too much penalty, not applicable to what Jet did. Was there anything?
I didn't hear anything of the track, but I already knew, a few days after the race last week.
Yeah.
I don't think some people were pumped on that one because it's just so
on the penalty. Yes.
On a penalty. Yeah.
Right,
so yeah. I guess I could put it in the, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some, an adjustment of the language next year. I'm not going to say it's definitely going to happen. That's way. I always say I'm not in these meetings. People think I'm in these meetings. I'm not, but I do know some people were probably, or definitely were not stoked on it. And the best part about it was every single person, not even like, no one can remember this rule ever being used or enforced at any time. Right.
Right.
So I think that's the thing where it's like, everyone was like, wait, what? This could happen? And I also learned some things about the gates that they might be able to improve so that the gate doesn't flip forward.
That was my thing last week. I said that last week. I was like, is there a gate inspection crew? Like,
no, there needs to be. Okay. There is a gate inspection crew. There actually is. So every national does have their gate inspected to make sure it works fine. What I found out was that these Supercross gates have a piece that prevents the gate from flipping forward.
Oh, yeah. I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. The motocross tracks don't want that because they all run amateur days, and they're afraid some dude in a C-class is going to just pin it. And if the gate locks, he's going to go flipping over the bars or break the gate.
Yeah.
And Supercross, you're only dealing with professional riders. You don't need to worry about someone getting it that wrong.
And A-Ray's retired, so.
Yeah. And Alessi's not there to count the five. So a couple things I think were learned. The difference in the gates, I don't know if that means they'll make the gates like that for the pro motocross next year. I wouldn't be surprised again if the rule changes. I didn't hear anything about it. Unadilla. It's funny how the news cycle changes. I feel like by then we had already moved on. But yes, I don't think everybody's stoked on that. And I don't just mean Jet Lawrence.
Hunter Lawrence 2-2 rode really well again. 2-2 got him the win last week. Doesn't get him the win this week against his brother. He was pretty feisty though in Moto 2.
Yeah.
Spicy Hunter. Not scared to put it front wheel in there and get alongside him and everything else. So
I thought it was interesting. James made a great call on him trying to kind of attack Jet when the track was sketchy. Because James called it once Jet settles in, we've seen it a million times. Supercross, motocross, doesn't really matter. Once Jet settles in, it doesn't seem like there's much many people can do with him. You got to get to him before he kind of finds that rhythm. And Hunter knows him better than we ever will, right? His nuances and tendencies and all those things. You can see him kind of trying to lean into that right away.
Well, and then also I tweeted this too, like the opening laps of a moto, trying to find lines. Yes, you get a parade lap, but trying to find a line, trying to find what works, what doesn't work, and what worked in Moto 1 is not going to work in Moto 2, vice versa. That's a real skill that the elite guys have, but it still takes even guys as great as Jet. You know, there's bad line choices for opening laps until they go, till the computer brain goes, switch there. Now I'm set. Right. So I think
so sketchy too. Like I walked out there in between motos when they water it and it's in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done it right. Like I know what it feels like, but it's been a minute since I've been out there in that moment. And walking out there brought back a lot of feelings that I'm glad I don't have to feel anymore. Because it was,
yeah,
I just, those guys going that speed, which I have never gone on that track condition, is not a, it's not a comfortable thing to be doing.
Eli Tomac 3-3 on the day. It would have been interesting if RJ hadn't fallen, if Eli was going to get him. I don't think he would have. I think RJ had enough of a gap there, but good job for Eli Tomac going 3-3. I mean, kind of a distant 3-3, right? Like, he'd kind of just stuck around a little bit. Good job getting Justin Cooper in Moto 2. But really, I feel like, you know, he didn't have anything for the brothers.
He pushed pretty hard.
I think he might have got RJ in that first moto. He actually made a run at Hunter.
Yeah.
Midway through, 15 minutes in, 20, got Hunter in sight. Eli seemed like he was in an awesome mood after the race, oddly.
I think he's happy to just be in the fight.
Is that the happiest you've ever seen him with a third? So I don't know if that's like, hey, I rode good, I can't really complain about anything. Well, they just got me right now. I don't know what that is.
He said himself, right? Not his favorite track and not one that he likes. And so maybe he's like, 3-3, like, sweet. I don't like this place, right? Also, by the way, ironic, James Stewart put into the Unadilla Hall of Fame. There's nobody other than Ricky who hated that place more than James Stewart.
He loves that track.
What?
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, it's really weird. Because I've joked with him about a million times how much he must hate Unadilla. And he's like, no, I got knocked out 2 years in a row on the first lap of practice, but I always thought the track was fun.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he was publicly, I thought he's come out and been like, I don't like Unadilla at one point. No,
I thought Weege was insane when he was saying this. And then I was around multiple times when Stu was talking about it. He's like, no, I actually really like this place.
Is Ricky in the Unadilla Hall of Fame? Probably not.
I don't know.
He might not. I mean, he literally had a butt patch.
I feel like he is.
You know Dilla.
Yeah, I know. Not a fan.
We talked about RJ Hampshire.
They did a good job, though, because I think James was surprised, because he's like, I think you brought up Cody Cooper almost beating him, JT. You brought that up to him. And then getting knocked out multiple times. I think he was surprised. He's like, the record's not very good here. But when they gave him the speech and when they gave him the trophy, I kind of forgot some of the things. Oh, yeah, that is the track where he pulled over to let Chad get ahead of him and pull back away. He had some moments there.
I think it's the track he pulled all his tear-offs off on the line also. I believe it was Unadilla Beaker.
That was Buds.
It was Buds? Okay.
Yeah, it was Buds. Before we get off Jet, just quickly, at what point is it appropriate to start ranking Jet, like, big picture? Like, I know we're not there yet. He's two titles. He's 22 years old. I'm asking a sincere question. When does that conversation start to come in?
Well, three 450 titles. Yeah. A Supercross, right? He's got one Supercross. So three 450 Supercross and two outdoors. We're on our way. It's too early, though. You're absolutely right. Like, way too early. But yeah, we've all been saying it. So
I think the
still behind Tim Ferry to me, still behind Timmy, but he's coming.
I think the quickness of which he is doing these things is the most impressive, right? Like,
he's
nowhere
ninth?
Near anybody else's records. Like,
is he ninth all time?
Never get there.
What did you guys say that? Eighth or ninth all time already. After 2 years?
Yeah.
Wait, did he race last year at all? Early?
Yeah, bro. He died at Hangtown and then still won the overalls after that.
Oh, yeah. So perfect season. Died at Hangtown, won all the overalls without it. Then thumb injury.
Yeah, he won Thunder
now
Valley,
this year.
High Point,
got it.
And Southwick.
So two and a half years, ninth all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Exactly, JT, how quickly he did it. I know on paper, Ryan Dungey won both 450 titles in his rookie year, but he didn't win them the way Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence had a freaking perfect season, and then he won the Supercross title the next year, and everybody knew he was coming. It wasn't taking anybody by surprise. It's not like, I mean, Dunge is awesome, but Stu and Chad and RV, a bunch of guys got hurt. I'm not saying that Dunge wouldn't have won anyway, but Dunge didn't win it like Jet, and I don't know anyone else who's done it. Like,
but he went also, and Dungey is an all-timer, there's no doubt. But Dungey went 4 years in a row without winning the title again. Like, that is a thing. That's a thing. And maybe Jet does. Maybe Jet loses the next three. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a part of it.
You don't know?
I'm just saying it's possible. I'm saying it's like, I'm not disqualifying Jet from the same thing happening to Jet, but what happened to Dungey.
But that's like, all. Timmy has 196 outdoor races or something to his total. It's got to count for something.
Yeah, Timmy's awesome. But we're talking about like...
JT has a graphic on the show that says fifth all time in starts. So we're talking to one of the greats right here.
Great point.
One of the greats. I'm just saying the two rookie titles.
Yeah.
That's...
I can't wait for the YouTube.
Like underrated because it's like we knew he was going to be good, especially going into that Supercross season. You almost thought of him as the favorite, even though he was a rookie. And I think we forget that pretty much never happens.
Can't wait for the YouTube video. Weed shits on Dungy.
I want to make sure that I'm very clear of when. Not, I'm not doing it now. I'm saying when do we? That's all. And there's no Dungy shade. Dungy's a bad MF-er.
No.
Hampshire, we are literally witnessing Hampshire just getting better every week, breaking into that top five group, then running the top five pace, then making a podium, and then now leading laps. Like literally RJ Hampshire moving on up every single week. He's got one more round to go. I don't know. Maybe he leads more laps. Maybe, you know, he gets on the box again, but yeah,
he's really good there.
Great work. Great work for RJ. Looking good. Got a new fork a couple weeks ago. He was telling me about it. And it seems to make a difference. So good job, RJ.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Where are we going to put RJ when we do like 2026 Supercross motocross preview shows? What are we doing with him?
I don't know. Are you going to take the Lawrence's off the first show and put RJ on it?
Well, I know Steve. Yeah. Steve wants 27 riders on show one just to make sure that we don't diss anybody. But I'm saying like,
it's tough. You're gonna get a lot of guys.
Where is the ceiling now? This is really impressive.
But you're gonna get so many guys back, and that's the age old question, right? Like, he's gonna have to prove himself again. Like I asked Hunter on the podium last year, second in points, he won a moto, fantastic. But everybody, including myself, was saying, "Well, wait till Jet's back, wait till Tomek's back, wait till all these guys are back, and then we'll see." And I think it was remarkable for Hunter to still be there. That was a big thing. Is like, yeah, fine. They're all here. Now what? You know, like I'm still right there. That's a big deal. So that's good. That's what RJ is going to be up against too when we get to January.
I way underestimated Hunter coming in the 450s, so I'm not going to do that again.
100%. Oh, I every step of the way I have.
RJ 4-5. Justin Cooper, New York's own, 6-4 on the day. Kind of quiet day for Justin Cooper. Usually really good at Unadilla. I mean, 6-4 is still good. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it's a garbage day, but quiet. Dylan Ferrandis, 7-6 for Dylan. Good job. Privateer guy, yep. Right?
Jacob was happy with his day.
Yeah.
Speaking of Weej there, like better anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, felt like he was riding a little better, I thought. I thought Ferrandis was awesome. Like,
Dylan was really good. Yep.
It's the track he needs. If you know, I say this all the time. If you're not going to do well at your best tracks, you're not going to do well at all. So he kind of needed to have that type of day. But I think for him, you know, on the momentum and like mental side of it, to pass Prado, pass Roczen, like those are a big deal, right? He needs to be like, yeah, man, I just passed those guys, because he, you know, like we think he's going to be maybe a part of Ducati, get a factory ride again. But like, those are steps you need to take. Like, you need to be able to beat those guys and pass them to kind of reestablish himself, because 4 years ago, this was a champion of the class, right? And now he's nowhere near that. So he's kind of like trying to climb back into that echelon.
Well, for me, more than anything, I look at it like, dude, he was gone for months. And last week was good. First national. It's never easy to jump in. He jumped in, did good, rode really well in the second moto. And now he's third moto of the year. He's running the pace of Malcolm and all those other guys like right away. So on a privateer bike, I think you got to keep stressing that. It's a privateer bike. So good job for Dylan. I think it's impressive. Four motos in to beat Malcolm and beat Guillaume and beat Prado. And you know what I mean? Like, also I've heard behind the scenes, look, he's going to Ducati. It's done. He's going to go there. I heard behind the scenes, though, he's not talking to anybody about it. He's not mentioning it. He's not even to his close friends. Like, he's just, which, I mean, hey, classy Dylan. He's just going to let Phoenix Honda, you know, help him out and all that. But I think that's hilarious that he's just being stone cold Dylan Ferrandis.
You know, I hear people complain all the time that in other forms of racing, like when the F1 drivers are switching or the MotoGP riders are switching, they talk about it halfway through the year. And these riders do not. And then people complain, you know, why are they so scared? I don't know if you guys know. Is it in some... They're so rigid on, I will never say it publicly. Like, Chase Sexton is never going to say Kawasaki publicly, no matter what. You can true serum him if you want. You can get him hammered. Give him shots after the race. He's not saying it. So I wonder if they either have it in their thing, they can't say it, or they fear their paychecks will be held if they say it. Because it's so across
the
board.
But even behind the scenes, though, Weege, I mean, behind the scenes, we all know these guys tell us things and talk to us about things. And I've talked to guys, been like, hey, man, you know.
Yes.
But Dylan, apparently Dylan is just,
I mean, to your point, to your question, Weege, yes, there are things in their contract. 100% there are things in their contract that they get in trouble for.
They're not allowed to say it.
Yeah.
Malcolm Stewart, 10-7.
Lame.
Malcolm Stewart,
it would, 10-7. It would be promoting a competitor, right? Like, they're absolutely
But then the age-old question, why F1's way bigger? There's way more money in the line. Why are they allowed to do it?
Yeah. I think it's probably a cultural thing, you know?
And street bike racing, too.
Street bike racing, no problem.
Malcolm Stewart, 10-7. Barcia, 9-8. Bam Bam Guillot battle. You guys were focusing on that. That was great. Does Justin know who he is? He does. Justin's actually a pretty worldly guy. He follows other racing. He would know.
Yeah,
he would know Guillot. But Kyle Webster, 8-9. That was a much better improvement from Ironman on Kyle Webster's part. So,
Hey, one other thing I got from Guillot, by the way. He really wants to race 250 Supercross next year and stay here full time. So
yeah,
he wants the industry to know. He can ride Supercross.
I think
Geneva
he's got
Supercross, he's done well.
I think he's got a ride. I think he's got a deal.
Oh.
PRMX.
He didn't seem that assured of it Saturday evening when I was talking to him.
I mean, maybe he wants something a little better than PRMX, but I know those guys want him. I know they've talked to him.
Okay.
And shout out Jack Chambers, I guess, broke his leg. Jack Chambers on PRMX, so bummer bummer deal for Jack. Yes, Guillot wants to do 250 Supercross, 450 Motocross. Yeah. Weege, I didn't watch
your... Geneva. I know you can ride Supercross. And he said he used to battle Malcolm at Geneva.
I saw him at Paris in the 450s. I think he got fifth overall. Like, didn't beat the Americans, but, like, was the next guy after that. So I've seen it. I didn't watch your dumb show, Weege, but he's a beauty. Was he a beauty again?
Oh, battling Bum Bum. Bum Bum.
Bum Bum.
And he's like, I passed him clean. I didn't want to get him mad. I'm like, that doesn't matter. If the inside is there, it doesn't matter.
You're like, sir, there's a long list of guys who have said, I passed him clean. That doesn't matter.
And as Barcia transgressions go, it's not even in the top 100, but still, it was aggressive.
Just insert that Tomac gif of him like laughing at Atlanta.
Yeah. Have you ever passed anybody clean this year?
This year.
But yeah, Barcia 9-8 on the day. Webster 8-9. Guillot 11-10. Weege, did you get out of him about the middle seat coach landing in Friday morning before Ironman from Switzerland?
Ironman, I knew that he'd flown from Switzerland Thursday night to Friday morning, but I didn't know it was middle seat coach.
Yeah, apparently. So not ideal for this guy. And also, by the way, Weege, we need to do for Racer X, we have to do the Gavin Graysick award winner over the years.
Guess what?
What?
We're ready.
Oh.
I saw Gavin Graysick at Loretta's, and he has given us his blessing. He thinks it would be awesome.
Dude, Cody Shaw, Gavin Graysick, Cody Cooper, Vounty Guillot,
Cody Shaw,
Boutron,
Cody Cooper.
Hamblin in 02.
Yeah, Hamblin in 02.
Cody Cooper.
Although Hamblin had a factory bike, JT, was a little different, but yeah.
Shock.
Not the beginning. Not the beginning.
Early though, but you're right. Yeah. Cody Shaw.
We need to make a trophy for this.
Yep.
And I got 6 days to do it. That would mean.
Cody Shock, 11th, the SMX points. There's this dumb insider show. It's a big battle going on with SMX right now. Let me see the updated here points here. I got the standings in front of me.
Harrison, Guillot, I think, are 19-20, and Shock's 21.
Oh, wait. What? Hold on.
Yeah, okay, I believe Harrison and Guillot are ahead of Shock. And
Harrison, 182. Guillot, 179. Shock, 171. Dude. But Cody Shock is going into Bud's Creek. Like.
True.
This
track.
I can't imagine you two idiots and Bondo talking about this battle this weekend. Are you guys going to feature anyone else?
We will probably be heavily featured. Yes, we will feature it, I'm sure. But here's the thing. If you ask Guillot, Harrison, and Shock, ask them if they care or not care.
So
They're super he just completely fixated different. And focused on this.
Okay.
Yeah, just it's not like you point. Asking Weimer and Shorty about he going for even, fourth and points or whatever, yeah. and they were both like,
he doesn't even answer. That, doesn't answer you, Weege.
That was a sham. The Weimer-Shorty thing was bullshit. I'm still mad about that. But no, I'm looking, JT, they might pass Hill, and if Schalk has himself a day, he can get Hill. Justin Hill might be on the outside here.
Because
Harrison just got 16 points. He's been riding really well lately. Yep. Gio just got 23. If they do that again, they both pass Hill, and Schalk's good at Buds, and he is 23 behind Hill.
JT, do you hear the excitement he has over the gimmick series?
Well, I'm waiting for it, like the punchline here.
Genuinely excited. Okay, if they all pass Hill, does anyone tell Hill at Charlotte that he's not in?
Yes.
Does anybody? Okay, I just wonder if like Dakota gets off the island, calls Hill, hey man, bad news, we got to go to the LCQ. But anyways. Yeah, look at that. You guys. Oh, this is fantastic for you people.
Dude, you're the hype man. Good job, Lurch. You want to come down and say, get it on?
We will cover this at the mashup.
Okay. All right. So we got that going on because Harrison's been riding really well. It's not time for Prado Corner. It's time for Ken Roczen Corner. Kenny came back. He's not really in SMX stuff to pass anybody. Got a fifth in the first moto. I said on the Blair show, I thought he would go 5-5, 5-6. So I was looking pretty smart. Second moto, I guess he got some cramps. Apparently not a bike problem, just some cramps. And then probably the track was a little sketchy for Ken. So he pulled off and rode off. But always good to see Ken Roczen back. And I would count me as not surprised early in Moto 1 when he's right in the mix, right? Neither one of you two either, I'm sure.
No, he's great at
Ken
this
Roczen.
Track.
Right.
I did worry that the second moto was going to go the way it did. I don't want to say I thought it would, but I was worried that it would. He's ahead of schedule. Like this wasn't the plan, you know? Like, so
yeah.
For the second moto to be iffy and him be like, not quite there, probably the right thing to do.
He wants skate drops for SMX.
Yeah.
Well, SMX.
I know you like to make fun of it, but like these guys' actions are telling you all you need to know. Like they are doing things in preparation for these playoffs.
Also, update on Kenny and I's relationship, which was strong, bedrock, great. Not responding to 4 to 5 texts from me, but marking them red. So I asked about the motocross series like 3 weeks ago. Like, hey, are you trying to come back for one? Then I said, pulp show. And then I'm like, what about this week, pulp show, when he announced coming back? And then I said, what happened second moto? And they're all red. They're all red and no reply. And I thought we had a solid foundational friendship, myself and the German. And so I, like a 15-year-old girl, I texted his wife. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What did I do? Why isn't Kenny responding to me? Does he still like me? One for yes, two for no. And she writes back, oh, he changed his number. So there's somebody with that number wondering, what about a show?
Yeah, they've been reading these texts.
They've been reading these texts, not responding, like wrong number, not saying anything.
Yeah.
But what is going on?
What the hell is that?
Don't you think that Ken Roczen would have turned off the red notification part of his text?
No, because Sexton left his on for years. He just turned it off a couple months ago. So Sexton was doing the power move of red and then not responding. And I said that to him and he said, yeah, I like that.
There's no way I would do that. No,
no
shot.
Either. No shot. It's the first thing I do when I get a phone.
Never, ever would I do that.
Sexton thought it was a power move. Yeah. He liked the power move of like, yeah, I read it.
Like, I want you to know that I saw it and I had nothing to say to you.
Right. So anyways, back to got the new number. Solid. We're good.
Has he responded?
No, I never tried the new number yet.
Oh, so we don't know, actually.
Well, it's what his wife said. He got a new number.
She didn't say you're cool.
I guess she didn't. You're right. Renthal.
He did get a new number, but...
She said that he said, anybody that can get a hold of me will just text you anyways. So she's like responding to all these jerkies with like, oh, my jerky husband changed his number here. So
No, anyways. That's fair. Like, the moment he rode off the track, I texted her and just said, what's up? And then she's like, yeah, he's gassed. He's done. And true to form, that's exactly what I did.
Right.
I just asked Courtney.
Yep. Okay. Renthal.com. Speaking of Renthal, Ken Roxon using Renthal bars, sprockets, mountain bike parts are fantastic. Renthal.com made over there in the UK. More championships than all the other brands combined. JT never used Renthals, always wanted to, but he's on one of those teams that couldn't get Renthal stuff.
Crazy?
Renthal.com, Honda, Kawasaki, and KTM using Renthal. Also using Renthal, Jorge Prado over there, and it is time. And I don't know.
Prado pod?
I don't know what to say. He gave up again. I thought Iron Man was good. He moved forward. We had new settings. We were so good at Iron Man. And then, dude, this weekend, he hole shot. And, okay, no way he's going to run Lawrence's paces and Tomac's pace and all of that. There's no way. But, hey, Jorge, settle into fifth and bring this thing home.
I think he's trying, man. I think he's trying to do that. And he goes from, like, hole shot, trying to go with those guys. He's getting passed by guys he doesn't think he should be getting passed by. And then I think he gets really flustered. And then at some point, I don't use this word lightly, he's basically quitting. Like, he not pulling off, but everything else but, man.
Yeah.
Like,
you said at Millville, JT, he was riding well with one hand off the bar.
He did it again this weekend.
Like, oh, he did?
He's looking around. He's pulling tear offs, looking back. Like,
dude,
that's bad. Like, this, and I don't know what to even make of that, because
it's really bad.
It's really hard to watch, and I have nothing invested in this. I don't care if he wins or doesn't show up. And I look away because I'm like, dude.
I don't think there's any way of coming back from this. Let's say he gets on the KTM. Let's say he does. I don't think you come back from this. It just gets easier and easier to quit all the time when things aren't going your way. Like, he can come back to this and run fifth and sixth and seventh. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's not winning in AMA competition. I just, if he gets on the KTM, like, this is really bad.
I'm not ready to write him off completely.
Yeah, that's fine.
You have a really small sample size. But I also, in the same breath, would say this is catastrophically bad at this point.
Iron Man was good, Weej.
I don't have any parallels for this. That's what makes it so weird. Yes, Iron Man was better. And they had this magic part that they got. And then what did he say? Because the bike was better there, then we're going to make more changes to make it even better to match the new part. And then everyone always thinks the GP guys are going to be good at Unadilla. There was, like, every reason to think he rode press day, doesn't ride press day every week. So you figure that any track he gets to ride the day before is going to help. There are so many things lining up for it to be a better day. Then he gets good starts. Second moto, he gets a darn hole shot without the scoop tire. And then it was worse. I cannot think of a parallel. Now, actually, my guy James Stewart and I, we disagreed on this, because he's like, guys do this more than you think. Guys that expect to win, when they can't win, they do this more than you think. But I pointed to the timing and scoring screen wherever Hampshire and Malcolm, like that fifth through seventh group.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that should be where he ends up.
Look,
but instead we're in 14th. Instead it's Mitchell Harrison.
Well, that's
remember a guy this good going
James,
back this far.
James was an example of a guy who hated his bike and team, but he would just crash and walk off the track. You know, James would never go back to 12th, 13th. I'm thinking JGR James, not Suzuki out of shape James.
It makes me wonder if we're both saying two different things. As if maybe what James is saying is, yeah, the guys that are supposed to win and know they can win and won't accept anything less than winning, they don't just stay out there and get 15th. They find a different way to get out of there. Crash or banged up or health problems or whatever it might be. Maybe it's that. There's a different version of this. Prado's decided not to pull off, not to fake an injury, not to claim health problems or banged up. He's just going to get beat by Mitchell Harrison.
But I mean, the second motor was a little better. He moved forward a little bit. No, but
the going to 15th is the quitting part. Like, if he kept his head down and just stayed in it, he would be ahead of where he is. But when you sit up and you look around and you ride around, those other guys that you're much better than, they start catching you. Like that, that's just how that works. Like if he really stayed in it, like my opinion, he gets really frustrated when he gets passed by Ferrandis or any of those guys. He's like, I'm better than them. They shouldn't pass me. So then he just is like, well, F it. And then he drops off significantly. And then these privateer guys start catching him. And that's in like a guy like Guillaume passing him. We all know what that means. Like Guillaume would tell you, like, I've never passed a guy in my life. He then in like his head, it just is like, screw this. Well, I'm not doing it. And that's where we see the 14s and 15s come in, is because by that point, he's completely checked out.
You guys know me. I will almost always side with the team and the bike. You know, I'm just that. JT's the rider, right? You've been in this 100 million arguments. This is, so I'm going to side with the team. And again, like these guys are working their nuts off and this is what this guy's doing. I'm sorry. It's unacceptable to me. If I'm Dan Fahey, Bruce Sternstrom, it's unacceptable. Like, dude, hang on for the seventh. Go first to seventh. Cool. He is quitting. Look at the lap times. He's in shape. He's not tired. It's just what JT said. He's quitting. It's brutal. And it's unacceptable. And maybe this is it. Maybe he's on KTM soon. I don't know. But it's really bad.
This was the last gasp, I think, of any like hope that there was a direction here. Because now it's like a typewriter. It's reset all the way back to the other side. It's like right back to where it was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Iron Man was good, fine, acceptable, all that, and we're right back to it. And
yeah, man. God.
Okay, so the second moto, he did move forward.
What do you mean he hole shot?
Second moto?
Yeah, he hole shot with the. Oh wait, JT, was he knobby in the first moto?
First moto,
yeah, he was.
First moto, knobby.
He was knobby and hole shotted.
So second moto, he came around first lap like in 17th or something, didn't he?
Oh, really?
Like what I will tell you with Prado, right? So I had to look for it here. The second moto, he didn't get a good start. He wasn't up there.
Were you just telling me he got a good start? No, he didn't.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think he did. But either way, it doesn't matter. He does a 223 on lap 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay? Like, that's respectable. Respectable lap times, 223, right? Like, that's faster than Malcolm. It's faster than Barcia. It's faster than Ferrandis was 222, 223. Justin Cooper was 223, 222. So he's on the pace with the guys that we think he should probably be battling with at this stage, right?
This is, hold on. This is second moto you're talking for second, opening laps. He was 16th Weej after one lap in moto two.
He goes on to go laps 11, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 15. He goes 232, 233, 230, 233. He's 10 seconds a lap slower in the last 5 out of 6 laps. Like, that is the problem. When I say he's quitting, basically, that's what I'm alluding to. That's how you get caught by Mitchell Harrison and these other guys, from when you're doing pace to be running 6 or 7. Like, that's it. That's in a nutshell. That's all the data you really need. The other moto, because this is, I believe, the first moto that I'm looking at here.
I asked you if it was second moto.
First moto. You got 15th. 15th in the first moto.
Yeah.
Those were his lap times. That's the problem.
Right.
So when you look at other guys, like, let's take the guys that he wants to be battling with to win. Jet's doing faster, 220s.
You can't, don't even take Jet. He's an alien.
I'm just saying, for comparison, Jet and Hunter, those are the guys that he wants to go race with, okay? Whatever. Say he can't do it. I don't care. I'm telling you, if you ask him, that's the guys he wants to race with. Their last 5 laps, they're still doing 219, 219, 220, 220, 219, 220, over and over and over and over, just like they were at the beginning of the race. Prado has gone from 223 to 232. That's it. Like, you don't need more than that. All you need to understand what's happening in the race.
So the bike is beating him up, I would imagine, is what he's saying. Because he can lay down a lap at speed. But I guess he's going to say the bike is beating him down and he gets tired or whatever.
That is what he said at Southwick. He said, I can go fast for a lap.
Right, right. And I heard a couple weeks ago he was saying it bottomed so hard it yanked his shoulder out or something. It's bad, man.
I don't know, man.
Yep.
Okay.
But also, can we poor Mitchell Harrison gets so much shade, even in my Twitter Kawasaki World Rankings, on this show, on the Pulp Show. We always bring up Mitchell Harrison, and I get it, but poor Mitchell Harrison is getting a lot of flack for this.
The whole thing is, there's no way we can be made to believe that Prado's bike is worse than Mitchell Harrison's.
Yeah, that's why we say it, Cowie. Yeah, it's
impossible.
Cowie. Right.
Like, there's no way. So, beating you up or not, like, they have the resources to be able to not beat you up. Like, I don't know. We're talking in circles, but it's mind-boggling to me. Like, I don't get it at all.
Well, listen, SMX is coming. Maybe he's just better at that.
I don't know, man. I know people keep receipts these days, and he's a really good rider, and there's a chance that somehow, some way, whether it's with Cowie or with a different bike next year or in 2 weeks or next week, I don't know, that he's all of a sudden as good as he should be. I don't want people to keep receipts and say that we said he sucked. It's the exact opposite of that. We all agree he's way better than this. We're actually, JT, we are actually complimenting him here. We know this is not him.
If I didn't think he was awesome, I wouldn't even be talking about him.
Exactly. Well,
we don't have Prado corner. We don't have Mitchell Harrison corner. We'll give him more shade.
No.
Every week.
But we wouldn't do this about Anderson. We're not doing it about Barcia. We're not doing it about anybody. It's what I've seen and what I know he's capable of. We are on a different planet from that right now.
Yeah. And I cannot think of a guy who has gone this deep on the bike, the giving up, and some of it's cultural, some of it's just his personality, I guess. But, like, dude, when you have – he has shown zero – any. It's just the bike. There's been nothing positive.
Yeah, no.
Every interview, he doesn't say anything about himself, his effort level. He could easily say, look, I was hurt in Supercross and I didn't get a lot of time. But he hasn't used any of that. I think that's what's rubbing people the wrong way too, because it's not even a – I feel like even Sexton last year, didn't everyone, even Sexton himself, I think it was like, it's somewhat Chase, it's somewhat the bike, right? We sometimes get the, it's some of me, it's some of it. Prado has been 100%. It's only one thing.
It's the bike. As I said, I don't know how he comes back from this to the level of like running where he wants to run on a KTM. Like, it just, if he throws in the towel at a bike that's not set up perfectly for him, I don't know, man. You know?
I mean, we've seen guys have really horrific runs and then come back and be...
But this bad?
I don't know. Whatever.
So I put this on Twitter. The last guy I can remember... No, the last factory rider I can remember doing this is Mikel Pichon in 99. He hated Dan Bentley, his mechanic. He hated Honda. He wanted to go home. He ended up getting his wish after his dad punched out John Ayers at High Point. Honda terminated him, and he went back home and won some world championships. But Pichon in 99, because I was working for Red Dog at Nolene, a bike I put together that, you know, if you gave Nolene $20, they would put the part on the bike. So we did not have a motorcycle that was anywhere near a factory Honda, and Timmy would routinely catch a quitting Mikel Pichon late in Supercrosses all the time. JT, you were around then. He was not happy. That's the last time I can remember a factory rider throwing in the towel like this.
I passed Larry Ward at Steel City in 2000, and he was quitting.
That was Cowie, right?
Well, I got seventh. So
that was Cowie.
Like, he was. What's that?
That was Cowie, right? Cowie Larry Ward.
Yeah,
he hated it.
That was the year he was pushing the kill switch and holding it wide open, like going by the mechanics area, so it sounded like it was bogging. But I've seen it. It is rare, but yes, we've seen it. But just that's Larry Ward late in his career, pretty much like over it. This is Jorge Prado's first year in America trying to prove himself as a championship contender.
But all that being said, I'm not where you are with it, Steve. I'm not.
Yeah, okay. No, that's fine. I get it. Yeah, I
could see him being good, and then everyone being like, oh, all the haters, and everyone bagged on him. I feel like right now it's just, how can you sugarcoat any of this? But could he be good again? Yeah.
How does he turn around and start running with Jed and Hunter and Eli in outdoors next year on a KTM?
I don't believe that it happens on a Cowie.
Oh, no. Yes. No, definitely not.
I mean, whatever. Like, I think they're somewhere in the realm of possibilities. He's there for the duration of his contract. I just don't see him winning anything in this situation right now.
I think he's out of there. If I had to bet, I'm in Vegas. If I had to bet money, I would bet he's on a KTM next year.
On a factory bike for free? That's what you think?
Wow, well, or very low salary, right? Like, yeah, very low. I mean, he makes a ton of money from Fox, so it's fine. But yeah,
he has money. I'm just saying, like, they don't have budget to pay him a lot of money.
No, for sure. Okay, all right, that's Prado Corner. Welcome to Prado Corner, brought to you by the folks at Maxxis Tires, Maxxis.com. PRMX guys running Maxxis Tires out there with Mitchell Harrison. And again, the International Supercross Race Team, Max Miller as well. Maxxis.com. Check out their mountain bike tires. They're fantastic. Jeremy McGrath helped develop the dirt bike tire. Maxxis Tires, if you haven't thought about them for a motorcycle tire, check them out. They got some great stuff. And again, Maxxis.com, Renthal, and Fly Racing, the code PulpMX at FlyRacing.com to check out. Thank you to Fly for all that they do on the Racer X podcast show here, Unadilla Review. Okay, let's hurry along a little bit here. Lorenzo Locurcio has been really good lately, by the way. Lorenzo's been riding well. 13-15. Pacharel, 16-13. McElrath was up there. McElrath went, I had him in fantasy, so I was paying attention. Looked like he got a little winded in each moto, dropped backwards in each moto, unless something happened. I don't know, but went backwards a little bit. The Pope was good in one moto and then I think crashed late. I want to say the Pope was like 12th or 13th early in a moto and crashed. Henry Miller, Marshall Welton, DNF, the first moto on his new ride there. That's 450 class. Anything else, boys? 450s? Harry Kulis off weekend. Sorry, Bondo. 2041.
Yeah, I didn't pay a lot of attention. There was a lot going on at the front, so I was watching that.
I did see Harry was at Phil's championship party on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were invited, Steve. I feel like
I got a FaceTime. I got a FaceTime.
You did get a FaceTime from the great Justin Brayton, in fact. Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Harry was there with his baby and his wife, not holding a beer, but holding a baby bottle. Last year, he was flying his wife back and forth to Estonia with suspension. Now the wife has to carry suspension and a baby because her baby's young, like 6 months old. I just think that's unbelievable. The wife's going to the airport with a baby in the left arm and a suspension case in the other so Harry can keep the dream alive.
But why isn't Harry bringing the suspension? I'm confused.
He stays here to ride.
Oh.
So he sends her home.
What do you mean home?
To get the suspension.
The service guy is in Estonia?
I guess that's his best. Well,
No one in America can do suspension for Harry?
I said, hey, you're doing better than Guillaume, who had not had a suspension serviced until Washougal.
Yep.
But he didn't know about that, actually. Yeah. But I think then he felt even better about his situation.
Shout out to I forget the guy's name. He was cool. Phil's old guy at Washougal for changing Guillaume's stuff for free.
At Washougal.
All right. Okay. That's 450s from Unadilla. Rod Bell, 35-36. We'll see Rod Bell this weekend. Oh, yes, we will at Bud's Creek. All right. Thank you to Fly Racing. Again, Maxxis and Renthal, of course, on board of us. And Motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out. Motorsport.com. Great prices. You got a secret street bike like JT. E-bikes, UTVs. I got a UTV now. I'm a UTV guy. Motorsport.com's got parts for you and the great prices, free shipping and over $79. They just gave away a YZ450 as well as part of their ultimate ride sweepstakes. So thanks to Motorsport.com, the number one online place to order anything you need. Thank you to those guys.
Yo, I heard you say that. It's not over.
What?
The YZ450, they're a great sponsor of the Weed Show. August 25th. You have until basically Bud's Creek to enter.
Oh,
still going.
Me. Crappy.
Still going.
Crappy partner I am. Sorry, kids, still going.
Motorsport.com/win.
Okay, great. Thank you to Motorsport, guys. All right, 250 class. Has Joe Shimoda ever ridden better than Moto 1? Has anything come to mind for either one of you two? Like, that was phenomenal. Dude, see ya. Yeah. 41 seconds. 41 seconds.
And what did he actually start? Sixth? Seventh?
Right? Yeah.
Yep. It was like, get out of the way. Your guys aren't going fast enough.
It was unbelievable.
What the
Joe
heck?
Show.
Dominated. Dude.
What's he? Is he signed his contract yet? What's going on? Do you either one of you know?
I don't really know the team manager over there. He's not very communicative.
I still think it comes down to figuring out the 450 plan. Nobody will say that. Nobody will confirm it. But I can't find a way around that not being a factor. It has to be. Has to be.
My friend Lars said there's a contract offer on the table. We want him back. He's got a deal.
He has multiple offers.
Right. Well, he don't sign it, Joe. You can keep adding like 50, 100K a year every week.
I was thinking that because, dude, you take Deegan out of the picture next year outdoors. I mean, something weird happens in racing all the time and you can't stamp Joe, but he could certainly make a case for himself right now.
If he switches teams, that might be a little eh, but if he stays at Honda HRC, he's my outdoor pick, man. This is a different Joe.
Can't you guys see, and I don't know anything of the inner workings of this, I'm 100% speculating, but can't you guys see a world where Honda's just like, listen, he's the best Japanese rider of all time. We're going to make room for him. We're going to help you guys with budget or staff or whatever to give him a 450 pathway here. Like, I just think that is in the cards somewhere. And I think that is the roadblock. It's Honda's like, we have our 450 plan. We have two fantastic guys that are running 1-2 and everything. We don't have a place for him to go, and he's going to need a 450 place to go. So at some point, I think someone way up high at Honda goes, hey, man, we got to figure out a way here. And I can't imagine a world where Honda Japan isn't like, yes, we want to help you do that because this is very important to have a Japanese rider involved. Like
Lars mentioned on the show. No, Lars mentioned on the show. Yeah, 3 450s. If we got to do it, we got to do it. Like, he didn't like say like, you know, no way. But I just
can't imagine a world where Honda is saying, here's a 3-year deal, 2 years on 250, third year's a 450 deal. And he wouldn't take that. Like, I can't imagine that is in the cards. So that's where I struggle to see where it hasn't been signed yet.
He can point out if he wins next year, Supercross, then he defends and he's out.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean.
But my point is,
yeah,
I can't imagine there is an offer on the table with a guaranteed 450 spot for him at factory Honda and he didn't take it. That's just my guess. I don't know whether it's true or not. That would be my speculation, though.
Wasabi Joe.
Dude, unbelievable.
It's it's great. Good job.
And hey, it kept the title alive. I mean, chance ability is very low, but.
Well, after you're spreading fake news, Weege, thank God that didn't come to fruition.
We'll never know now, will we?
We'll never know.
We'll never know. At a 450 ready, maybe.
Right.
We'll never know. I actually, on that topic, the Deegan 450 at Bud's, I talked to Mr. Bobby Reagan himself on Saturday morning. And he said that was a motivational tactic to get Hayden to win these races and wrap this title up early.
You guys are just pawns.
Oh, we're tight. He found me.
No. You guys are pawns. Pawns in the motivational tactic scheme.
I suppose so. And I don't know. This one never really upset me that much. I'm just like, the team owner is going to call you and say, post this. I'm not saying no. The good thing was the Deegans, who I think only see Instagram, they don't read the Racer X site, so they didn't even connect my name to it because there isn't an author on an Instagram post.
I texted Brian. I told Brian it was you.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we'll never know. I guess we'll never know.
Good job, Joe. Honda swept. What a day for Honda. 1-2, 450s, win the 250s with a 1-1 score. They won the whole shot contest at Washougal. They're on quite a roll. Hunter won Ironman. Like, good job, HRC Honda.
Only Hymus were there. I mean, Hymus had Shimoda Speed at this race last year.
Hymus had Shimoda Speed at Thunder Valley.
He has the largest win victory still, Hymus does, because Joe cruised the last lap.
Yeah. Deegs 2-3. Deegs looks a little bored to me. But also, can we talk about him cutting the track a little bit? Like, he has been Deegs. Now, I had somebody in my DMs mention that, and they're right. Deegs does do it. A lot of other guys do it, but Deegs is on camera a lot because he's Deegs.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're going to see it more, but dude, he does it more than I would be comfortable. If I'm Mike Pelletier, I'm probably saying, hey, man, can you just take it a little easier going off the track so much?
Where's that $100 fine like I got in 2012? Yeah.
Well, that was Jake Weimer who did that, but
yeah.
Deegs 2-3, Vial 4-2. Vial went 3-3 last week at Ironman, rode really well. 4-2 this week. Obviously lost the lead in Moto 1, goes back to fourth. Not ideal if you're Tom Vial, but Moto 2 responds, you know, what are you going to do against Wasabi Joe? Nothing. So Vial's had four good motos in a row, I think. Even the first moto, yes, first to fourth, not great, but I mean, better than it was going for Tom Vial. So good job.
Vial actually revealed something in the press conference. He said they've had a problem with the shock fading, and then they finally got it fixed for Moto 2. And I'm like, huh. Second Moto was a lot better.
Hmm.
Well, maybe there's something to that.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, RJ's talking about that, right, with the forks. So,
yeah.
Seth
and
Amaker.
Tom was also asked about next year, rumors of what he's going to do. Anyone want to guess his answer?
I did decide, but I'm not telling you where.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what he said. But basically, I'm not saying anything. How about that?
Hammaker 3-6. Thought he had a shot there before Deegs got him in Moto 2 to get on the podium, his first outdoor podium. Weege mentioned that 400 times. But good job, Seth Hammaker.
Talk about
it. Yeah, no, it wasn't a barn burner of a day. I'll give you that.
No, it was not.
He's still battling some health stuff, so to see him kind of fall off in the second half doesn't shock me.
Yeah,
I thought Bollmer was not good last weekend in his return at Ironman. Like, that was not good, but 6.4 is good. Got contact lenses also, so
I think that the tough track conditions helped him. Of all the people that it could have helped, like, he got good starts, but then I think also like hard pack, silty Unadilla was probably a good thing for him.
Also, I was going to mention that Bollmer and Vial, two races in a row, four motos now, great starts, both of them, and four straight motos. So I don't know if KTM changed something or those guys just, you know, are on it better. But
you know what I think?
It is.
Some of it is. I think that when the starts are super deep, I think the Yamahas have a little bit of a torque edge. But when it's like hard pack, supercross starts, the start's not super ripped like this weekend, that the dirt wasn't deep at all on the start. I think a bunch of other bikes like the KTMs, the Cowies, I think they have a lot of top end and they're better in those conditions on the start. But if it's like ripped crazy super deep, then I think other bikes are a little bit better. It's just something I've noticed, like, trend wise, when the start's hard pack and not quite as deep, then the other bikes are, especially the Austrian bikes and the Cowies seem to be at the front.
Fair, but Ironman was ripped. Also, and KTMs are up front.
Yeah, I just watched it in Supercross and in some of the harder starts. I just noticed those guys being more near the front. I don't know.
We had somebody say at Ironman they're not going to rip the front of the gate in America, but then they decided to rip the front of the gate at Ironman because the Diz Nations guys ripped the front of the gate. Did you hear either one of you heard this?
You mean for last week or for...
For last week at Ironman, yes. So MXDN rips the whole start in front of the gate. In America, we leave the rut in front. And we just rip, like, whatever, 15 feet in front of the gate. But last week at Ironman, they ripped the whole thing in preparation for MXDN. So yet again, we're changing things for MXDN for some reason at our race in the middle of the national.
I edit your column observations, and I couldn't understand the point you made where you're like, who died and put in front in charge? And I'm like, well, it's their event. Did you mean who died and put in front in charge of the national at the same track?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Like,
oh,
yeah.
I'm like, of course they can do whatever they want for donations. It's their event.
Well, first of all, they should bow more towards helping USA at that event, 100%, but they won't, but they should. And then, why are we changing our stuff for them?
They wanted to be a test run. They wanted to be exactly the same thing, a dress rehearsal for that event.
Beat it. It's America. These colors don't run. So Bollmer was better, got contacts. Weege, you're not going to believe this, but Marchbanks got a terrible start on Moto 1 and then rode great to get up to fifth. I know you're not going to believe that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that happened.
5-5 for Marchbanks. Yeah. Same score last year when this was his first race on PC. Remember, he went 5-5, I think, last year. So same scores and still rode really well.
That was the only good one for PC last year, but this year's been great. But he might end up going the entire year. Actually, no, he had one decent start. Second moto last week, the one where he was throwing up, was the only time he started well all year. And every other race has been bad.
So Jordan Smith's been lamenting on social media. He just can't put two motos together, but 8-9. He did it this weekend. Also, shout out Mikhail Harup. Broken collarbone?
Yep.
Is that the word? Yeah, bummer.
Bummer.
Bummer for my fantasy team also. Yeah, for sure. I did hear he was going to stay here next year, ride 450 motocross only. Did you guys hear that?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yes. There is talk of this, yes.
Rider D, 11-8. Thrasher, 13-7. Weege. Thrasher, 13-7.
Oh, I was thinking about it. When I saw him in the top 10, I knew this part of the pod was coming.
Thrasher's back.
Mm-hmm.
And Weege says, no, Thrasher should be way better.
No, not seventh. Seventh is good.
You'll take the seventh. Okay. Yeah, 11,
And you said that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Okay. Fair. Levi Kitchen 10-10. I talked to Levi this week on a text. I haven't talked to him much this week. I haven't seen him this much this year. I'm over at PC Truck a lot. You guys know how I make the rounds. I go to see Lars. I see Mitch. I see the Hep guy. I need to branch out more. That's another story for another day. But I honestly, Levi has not been like super stoked around the PC Truck to talk to all year. Yeah. And this week was, he crashed, but 10-10.
Yeah. Is Cowie your coffee place? Or is Mitch's truck your coffee place?
I got a few coffee places. Okay. I'd rather not reveal them all. But
oh, okay.
10-10.
Kitch is underperforming. Like he's highly paid. He was expected to be winning. I think he's riding well at times, but if you just looked at the results column, you wouldn't know that.
Are we underrating? We had a debate at the office here at Racer X over the week. Are we underrating the fact that he broke his neck at Daytona? And then when these guys come back, they're in their gear, they're on their bike, they look the same as they always did, and we just kind of assume they're back, and maybe they're not back, even if the doctor says your back is back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you don't subscribe to that one.
I kind of do.
He was on the podium in the second race.
What's that?
He was on the podium in the second round.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he should have won Redbud. Like, I feel like once you go fast once, you're back. But I don't know how the mind works when this stuff happens.
I don't subscribe to it this long into it when you've already shown you can be really good. If he just sucked the whole time, I'd be like, I don't know, maybe just having a hard time getting back. But we've seen him back. I've seen him like the fastest guy on the racetrack. So I don't, I think it's bad starts. I don't think it's a lingering injury thing. I don't know what he's fighting, but he's having a hard time putting the whole package together for some reason. It's not a, he's not fast anymore thing, which would be like, not quite there. Like maybe he's a little worried of taking risks. Like I don't see that when I'm watching him.
I asked him about the second moto at Ironman. I was like, hey dude, like first half sucks. Second half, you were on it at Ironman. Like what was the deal? And then he said he tried Drew Adams setup, and it took him half a moto to get used to it. And then he felt good. I'm like, okay, goddamn. So did you not test with this? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was after the first moto. He comes in and goes, yeah, throw me Drew's stuff. You know, I don't know.
You know, what do you guys think about this? Remember, let's remove the fantastic Levi Kitchen of 2024. Let's take that guy out of the equation. Prior to that, he was always this guy. He'd win a moto, and then he'd be 13th the next one. And you're like, what the hell was that? It was like every freaking weekend. Unadilla, he'd win the second moto, go to Bud's Creek, he's 12th all day. All day long, he's just 12th. Are we just back there? Like that, I don't know. Is it possible we're just back there now, where we're just going to see flashes, but we don't know what we're getting week to week?
One thing I have thought of, kind of along those lines, we used to say in those days that he was super start dependent. And I think he pushed back and said, hey, everybody besides Deegan is start dependent. But yeah, to your point, he would hole shot and win. I mean, we'll never forget the moto that Jet Lawrence just couldn't catch him
at
Colorado.
Yep.
But if he didn't get a start, he would never rumble his way forward. And besides Hamaker, all the Cowie guys have struggled with starts this year. So I'm wondering, we have the guy who's extremely start dependent, and for some reason this year they cannot figure out starts on that bike. Maybe that's the whole thing.
It is a new bike, different bike than last year when he was really good. So there is that part of it too.
I don't know.
Ask Prado. Bikes matter. Okay. Caden Dudney, seventh in Moto One. Good job. Landon Gibson, DNQ. Not so good. Weege.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck the deal was with Landon Gibson. I was shocked when I saw that lap time. Then I went and watched the LCQ and he crashed like two or three times.
Yeah.
I don't have any other data.
He should have made it in the LCQ. He should have made it, but he could not stay upright.
Yeah, didn't he crash? He crashed like three times or something?
Yeah, he was actually going pretty fast, but I mean, you can't crash in a four-lap race once, let alone three times.
If anybody knows LCQ, JT does. Cannot crash in an LCQ.
True. Not outdoors, though. You're never in that position.
My last
year, he was. Time, yeah, but. JT.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we used to have races. We used to actually have races for qualifying. So yeah. If you got like in a first turn crash or something, you were going to the LCQ.
Nick Way and I went to an LCQ.
The only ones that were in
02. Yeah, we went to an LCQ in 02 two or three times in 02.
Timmy.
No, Nick Way.
Oh, okay.
Kelly Smith too. Kelly Smith did not qualify at Steel City 01. His final race at KTM, my final race at KTM.
I remember that.
Was a DNQ at Steel City.
Yeah.
Did the Langston wheel blow up? It's easier than
you think in those qualifiers. If you crash in the first turn, which happens, it just happens.
Yep.
Then you're on the very outside for the LCQ. You get a bad start again. Godspeed. It can happen.
So Caden Dudney. Yes.
So Dudney just got forgotten about. I think he was the second best dude at Loretta's last year. The best guy was Drew Adams in the A class. And then the second best guy was Dudney in the B class. And to me, he was setting himself up to be the next guy after Adams, who we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a minute. But then he got hurt at Daytona. He broke his humerus, broke it again. So he just got forgotten about because he's hurt. I mean, I didn't know if he'd quite be this good in his pro debut, but he was not like some unknown. Like, he is legit. I didn't expect coming off of two humerus breaks.
Did he break the same humerus?
Yeah, rebroke it.
Oh, that's not funny.
Rebroke it around the plate. Yeah.
It's not funny. Did you guys get that? Humorous?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. I will say that Weege was on this like a year and a half ago that Dudney would be one of the guys. It's like one of the next guys to come out.
Dude, he was a beast. And I said it to qualify because a lot of people were upset that Enzo Timmerman didn't get a guaranteed ride, even though he dominated Loretta's. And I'm like, the landscape is so complicated now. You could make the argument that maybe Meneer and Dudney, somebody already placed a bet on those two. Yamaha feels they're better. So that's whether they're right or wrong. It's not like no one's getting rides.
And then Gibson, DNQ, not good. I'm sure he'll be better this weekend. Are they both racing this weekend? I don't even know. Are they back in?
Yeah, they are.
Gibson is for sure.
Cole Davies came back too. Not a motocross guy. Even before his injury, everyone was saying, hey, he's not quite as good as Moto, as we saw in Supercross. Although I didn't think he wouldn't score points. So rough start for Cole Davies, right?
I thought it was early. I don't know.
Early from injury, you mean?
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to race till Charlotte. I really didn't. So,
well, JT, you know why he did it.
Why he to get points?
Let me pull up the points. SMX points, everybody.
I'm saying results-wise, I thought it was early. So did I think he would be better than this? Yes. But I didn't think he would be like top 10. Like, I saw some crazy things on the internet this week leading up to it. Like,
was it?
Insane takes about him being at the front. And I'm like, you guys have lost your damn mind.
Okay, so he's got 171 points. He's 19th. Dylan Schwartz, who's not exactly a picture of stability, has 167, four back.
He might Lux be hurt also now.
Yeah, right. He didn't crash out of Moto 2, right? Then we have Lux Turner, who 155. If Cole Davies doesn't score points and Turner gets 16 points, which is a good day for Lux Turner, but he can do it, then Schwartz may pass Davies and Turner may pass Davies, everyone.
I have a feeling Davies would do just fine in the LCQs.
Okay. But catch the fever. These points matter.
Yep.
Seems like they do.
Coming around.
I don't need to talk about it. The riders, they can provide all the data for themselves. We don't even hype it up. We don't even.
Lux Turner, speaking of that, 14 points right behind him. I think Turner, Yoder's going to club. Turner's going to Bar X. And there's another guy going to Bar X that I forgot. Parker Ross is staying.
What about your guy, Parker Ross?
He's staying at Bar X.
Okay.
Parker Ross is legit. Schwartz, I don't know about Schwartz. Lux Turner's going to Bar X, and there's another guy going to Bar X.
I know Myron Short, the team owner, loves Schwartz. So
okay. I bet he is. Right. And then Yoder's going to club.
I'm really curious about Parker Ross. There might really be something there. Like, really? Like, this is his rookie year.
No, he's good. And then the next, Drew Adams, qualify P1. Dude, 18-12. What happened? I don't even...
Bad.
Okay, so never crashed, really? Just shitty starts, it looked like, and then...
But I also think that he was a... I'd say victim's the wrong word. I think he was really good on the way that the track was in qualifying, and then not quite as good on the way the track was in the race.
You nailed it. I saw him at the airport, and that's exactly what... He was super bummed. Like, not stoked. But that's exactly what he said.
Okay.
He didn't adapt. He didn't change. As the track changed.
Faulkner 17-14. So bad day for Austin after coming off a couple better rounds for sure on the Triumph. Avery Long 27-15. Avery Long did re-sign with AEO for next year. I saw that.
As he should. Driving really well.
Brody Connolly, New Zealand kid riding for the Aussie team.
He was ripping that first moto.
16-21, yeah. He's pretty young, right? He's really young.
Yeah.
Shane King was telling me about him last year or the year before at this Nations. I think he rode like...
Yeah, he's like probably 19, 20.
Oh, okay. I thought he was younger. Sorry. Yeah. Maybe when Shane King was saying young, like,
no, I heard he's older than
Shane
Davey.
King and I are old.
He's older than Davey.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mosman. Mosman, he KO'd himself. There's a photo on Facebook that I put in a group text. He looks like Clubber Lang went toe to toe with him. He's got a bandage and
not good.
Blood and JT. Did you see this?
I saw the video of him trying to get up.
Okay.
Did you see that video?
No. But
It's in a group text that you were in, and it is scary to watch.
There's a photo of him in the mule, and he's got eye patch, gauze everywhere. He looks like the mummy, and there's blood everywhere. So I hope he's all right, Mosman.
I mean, damn. You want video evidence of someone that is concussed? Look no further than that.
Yeah.
That video.
Right. Well, hopefully he's all right, man. I'm probably not racing this weekend, but
I hope not. Honestly, after watching it, I hope not.
Brunt work boots, by the way. Checking out the Brunt code, Brunt, the code PulpMX show. It works at Brunt work boots, gives you a code off there. The Omen boot is their best selling. It checks every box. And then they have the Marin as well. Lightweight, waterproof, slip and oil resistant, heat resistant. If you're a working man, get a Brunt workwear. They also make a lot of workwear besides boots as well, of course. And the PulpMX show will save you across the board. They're built for the toughest job sites out there, completely waterproof. So if you're in the SMX, tough job in SMX. You can wear the Brunt work boots. SMX is where it's at. So thank you to Brunt as well. Weege, Onyx Maps.
Onyx Maps has over 500,000 miles of trails mapped out for mountain bikes.
I see him moving.
Am I cutting out? Talk my internet. How's my internet? Well,
JT, this is Weege with a crappy internet plan, and now his kid is on PS5 playing Fortnite. Mm-hmm. And so the internet is slowed down.
Bandwidth getting crushed.
Yep.
Nah, it's 9 p.m. Eastern.
One of your kids downloading something?
Kids are asleep by now. It's late.
Is he on Napster?
Yeah.
Kids are asleep by now. It's late. Do you have
the best internet plan that you could buy for like a residential plan? Okay.
I have to because I do this show called SMX Insider and it requires it.
Grabio does use a lot of bandwidth, so I will give you that.
Yeah. What does?
The software we use is called Grabio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that show.
Anyway, Onyx Maps, you can download the map so when you don't have the internet, you can still look at the map. What more can I say?
Onyx Maps, everybody. All right. What else? Anything else? Unadilla, we're on to Bud's Creek.
How important do you guys think it is for Deegan to like be better this weekend?
Not important.
Not important? Okay.
No. Could you see Joe winning again?
My prediction is first moto, we'll see. Second moto, I think he rides much better.
Puts the hurt down on everybody to like be like, I'm the guy. Right.
I think he's kind of like being risk averse right now.
He's been giving Joe props. It looks like it pains him a little bit, but he has been giving Joe props. Yeah.
I think he's just being honest.
Right. I agree. It's just, you never quite know with Deegs, but it's, yeah. I mean, what else can you say? Joe has been great.
And even in the, under the tent before the podium stuff, listening to his comments, which aren't designed for me to hear. He's really respectful of Joe. He's just like, every time he would say to Brent, he's like, Joe's ripping. Like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. Bud's Creek. Who could forget 03? Timmy won that first moto. That was great. Good job, Bud's Creek.
You going to be there?
Yeah. Anything else, boys? I'll be there. All I'm right. flying into trying something different. Going into Baltimore, Washington Airport. Yeah. BWI.
Southwest?
No, I just gave up on that DC traffic. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. You go to Dulles. Dulles is really far.
I have to go to Dulles. Yeah, I have to. Is Reagan better?
We got a Reagan. It's so close.
Is it better? Yeah, it's closer.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
super close.
Well, yeah. I said, screw you, Dulles, and the direct flight. I will connect and go to Baltimore, Washington, and be closer.
So. I can be at if no traffic. I can be from the airport to the hotel in Waldorf in about 35 minutes.
Oh, dude. Try pretty like good. An hour 35 from Dulles. Oh, yeah,
I know.
It's a joke. Yeah,
I know where you're coming from. It's not good.
Weege, where do you go, in Dulles? Or
I'm Weege driving.
Is going. I don't. Who knows?
He's going to the internet store.
Yeah. Yeah, you drive. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to Fly Racing. Use code PULPMX to save at Fly Racing, Racer X as well. Subscribe to the magazine. You'll read stories in there that you'll never, ever read on the internet. Brunt Workwear, motorsport.com, Max's Tires, Renthal, all on board as well. So Weege, JT. Thanks, boys.
Later, guys.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change.